am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were.
You are very racist.
He said he
you're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? F*** you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, October 31st, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. Let's begin the day with a little bit of history. This day on this day in history, in 475, Romulus Augustulus was proclaimed Western Roman Emperor. In 683, during the siege of Mecca, the Kaaba caught fire and burned down. The Kaaba, you know, the little black box, which is interesting. And let's see, 1587, Leiden University Library opens its doors after its founding in 1575. And to this day, Leiden University Libraries is the only heritage organization in the Netherlands with three registrations of documents in UNESCO's Memory of the World Register. So that's important. Yes, I'm being a little more than slightly facetious. In 1864, Nevada was admitted as the 36th state of the Union of Several States. 1913 was the dedication of the Lincoln Highway, the first automobile highway across the United States. 1917, World War I, the Battle of Beersheba, the last successful cavalry charge in history. 2001, the global population of humans reached 7 billion, and this day is now recognized by the United Nations as the day of 7 billion. 2017, the episode, Strategy of Tension episode in Lower Manhattan. Remember Saifulo Saipov, the guy who said that he rented a truck just to run over some people and rented it a week earlier so that he could practice. And some people actually believe that story. This day in history apparently is not a good day to fly. In 1994, American Eagle Flight 4184 crashed near Roselawn, Indiana, killing 68 people. 1996, there was a flight in Brazil, Sao Paulo, Brazil, that crashed, killing 99 people. 2014, during a test flight, the VSS Enterprise, a Virgin Galactic experimental space flight test vehicle, crashed. You might recall that strange bit of history. 2015, Metrojet Flight 9268 was bombed over the northern Sinai Peninsula. At least that's the official story, and there were questions. And so that's interesting. Oh, but there's also that bit of history in 1517, right? Luther posted his 95 Theses, and so the Protestant Reformation was born, essentially. Posted his 95 Theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. And I think that's where we begin our broadcast today. Actually, maybe before we dive down the rabbit hole of the 95 Theses of Martin Luther and why this day. And I think it's interesting, speaking of the wild and dystopic ride, it's telling, I think, where we are in history in America today, that we are morbidly obsessed with all things death, you know, I would say cultishly so, and few there be, if any, you could find who could tell you anything about the history of this day. Halloween. What is the history of Halloween? You know, there are some controversies, differences of view and opinion, but there is this significance and there is some crossover, you know. All Saints Day, All Hallows Day, Feast of Saints, Feast of All Hallows, Solemnity of All Hallows, Hallow Mass, those kinds of things. How many people do you suppose, you know, All Hallowtide, how many people would be able to speak to any of this history in America today? I doubt very many. So, actually, before we dive into that, let's begin with Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. This day, the entry is titled Discernment of Faith, citing Matthew 17:20. And so let's begin there. Shall we? We may have the idea that God rewards us for our faith. It may be so in the initial stages, but we do not earn anything by faith. Faith brings us into right relationship with God and gives God his opportunity. God is frequently to knock the bottom board out of your experience, if you are a saint, in order to get you into contact with himself. God wants you to understand that it is a life of faith, not a life of sentimental enjoyment of his blessings. Your earlier life of faith was narrow and intense, settled around a little sunspot of experience that had as much of sense as of faith in it. And, you know, you see evidence of this, I think, in the Bible in places like, I think it's Isaiah 6, you know, Isaiah's emotional experience, and then it's interesting what happens after that, the maturity that occurs, full of light and sweetness. Then God withdrew his conscious blessings in order to teach you how to walk by faith. And the book of Job obviously comes to mind, among other instances. You are worth far more to him now than you were in your days of conscious delight and thrilling testimony. Faith by its very nature must be tried, and the real trial of faith is not that we find it difficult to trust God, but that God's character has to be cleared in our own minds. Faith, in its actual working out, has to go through spells of unsyllabled isolation. Never confound the trial of faith with the ordinary discipline of life. Much that we call the trial of faith is the inevitable result of being alive. Faith in the Bible is faith in God against everything that contradicts him. I will remain true to God's character, whatever he may do. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, which is obviously Job 13:15. This is the most sublime utterance of faith in the whole Bible, the whole of the Bible. So it's interesting, speaking of the book of Job, you know, the aphorism still circulates, the patience of Job. What about the faith of Job? Because the story in the book of Job describes a devil who is roaming the earth, and trying to find people to suborn, essentially, I would say. And Job chapter 1, verse 6 and following says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you and your face. He will surely curse you to your face, excuse me.' And then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your hand, is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him.'" And it's interesting that the two instances where God gives these commands to Satan, he is more obedient than most Christians. He does exactly what he is allowed. Do not, you know, don't put your hand on him, and then don't kill him. He does those. He observes those limits. And then it's also interesting to me, anyway, in Job 42:11, that God takes responsibility for the trials and tribulations that are brought on Job. And I think most people, you know, certainly in legal circles, would try to make the argument, well, you know, it was actually the devil who was doing that, but it was God who sanctioned it. So in Job 42:11, you know, after the adversity of Job and God's restoration, verse 42:11 reads, "Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought on him." So that's in contrast to I think the tendency of mankind, the devilish tendency to want to maybe pass blame off somewhere else to someone else. And obviously, at the same time, to take credit for anything good. And you can see, I could just imagine, I mentioned this from time to time, I could imagine that, you know, the devil is saying, well, you're welcome because you wouldn't have known if it weren't for me. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. And so you think of things, this is my own imagination, obviously, my own speculation and conjecture, but I could imagine bad guys in similar fashion saying, well, you know, you're welcome. You wouldn't have known these things and you wouldn't have become so aware and politically active, motivated, whatever, if it weren't for me. So you're welcome. I get credit, which is not accurate, but always trying to deflect blame and take credit for whatever when, you know, God's character is obviously not to do that, to be ultimately accountable and responsible. So Job, the story of Job is interesting because the devil says specifically, if you remove your blessing, then he will curse you to your face. He keeps saying that. And the Bible says that through all of the adversity that Job experienced, he did not sin with his mouth, which is an interesting expression. But obviously that indicates that he did not curse God, as recorded in the book of Job. So it's kind of an interesting place to begin the discussion of the history of the Reformation and its connection to Halloween. And again, there are probably very few people at this point in America, certainly, who even realize that there's any sort of connection. So that's where we begin. There's a post by Justin Holcomb over at Christianity.com that I think is probably a good sort of jumping off point on this. And so I think we will go there next. Reformation Day and its connection to Halloween. There's a curious connection between Halloween and Reformation Day. As it's known, the day that history records Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church. And it's more than just proximity on the calendar, Holcomb writes. So why did Martin Luther nail his famous 95 theses to the Wittenberg church door on October 31st in 1517? Holcomb writes, he was confronting two religious observances that promoted false saintliness and exploited people's fear of judgment and purgatory. So what is Reformation Day? Reformation Day, October 31st, commemorates Luther's posting of his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31, 1517. This act triggered the Reformation, as there were immediately translated and distributed across Germany in a matter of weeks, which is an interesting point of note. Stick around, we'll be right back. Thank you.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
So the history of Reformation Day and Halloween, where do they intersect? Well, continuing, speaking of the Reformation, Protestant Reformation, which was touched off on October 31st, 1517, when Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. The Protestant Reformation was the rediscovery of the doctrine of justification, that is, salvation by grace alone, Galatians 2:21, through faith alone in Christ alone. And so you see evidence of this kind of faith, I would say, in Hebrews chapter 11, for example, which is generally considered the hall of faith. And Christian circles. So it was also the protest again against the corruption within the Roman Catholic Church. The century before the Reformation was marked by widespread dismay with the corruption of the leaders in the Roman Catholic Church and with its false doctrines, biblical illiteracy and superstition. Monks, priests, bishops, and popes in Rome taught unbiblical doctrines like the selling of indulgences, the treasury of merit, purgatory and salvation through good works. And, you know, a lot of that persists to this day, interestingly enough. Halloween is celebrated by millions each year with costumes and candy. Halloween's deepest roots are decidedly pagan, despite its Christianized name. Its origin is Celtic, and it has to do with summer sacrifices to appease Samhain, the lord of death and evil spirits. Those doing the pagan rituals believe that Samhain sent evil spirits abroad to attack humans, who could escape only by assuming disguises and looking like evil spirits themselves. Christians tried to confront these pagan rites by offering a Christian alternative, All Hallows Day, that celebrated the lives of faithful Christians, faithful Christian saints, on November 1. In medieval England, the festival was known as All Hallows, hence the name Halloween, All Hallows Eve, for the preceding evening. All Saints Day. All Hallows Day, or All Saints Day, November 1, was first celebrated on May 13, 609, when Pope Boniface IV dedicated the Pantheon in Rome to the Virgin Mary. The date was later changed to November 1 by Pope Gregory III, who dedicated a chapel in honor of All Saints in the Vatican Basilica. In 837, Pope Gregory IV ordered its church-wide observance. Its origins lie earlier in the common commemorations of Christian martyrs. Over time, these celebrations came to include not only the martyrs, but all saints. During the Reformation, the Protestant churches came to understand saints in its New Testament usage as including all believers, and reinterpreted the feast of All Saints Day as a celebration of the unity of the entire church. All Souls Day, or the Day of the Dead, is normally celebrated primarily by Roman Catholics and on November 2nd. This is a day dedicated to prayer and almsgiving in memory of ancestors who have died. People pray for the souls of the dead in an effort to hasten their transition from purgatory to heaven by being purged and cleansed from their sins. That, again, is a Catholic tradition. Treasury of merit, spiritually earnest people were told to justify themselves by charitable works, pilgrimages, and all kinds of religious performances and devotions. They were encouraged to acquire this merit, quote unquote, which was at the disposal of the church by purchasing certificates of indulgence. And this gets to some other issues that I'll probably touch on while we're talking about this, the veracity of the Bible and so on. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
So continuing, the Treasury of Merit, folks encouraged to acquire this merit, which was at the disposal of the church by purchasing certificates of indulgence. This is not just this simple either. I mean, this goes much deeper and gets to the veracity of the Bible and other things. This is part of a belief that essentially the church had to sort of interpret the Bible on an ongoing basis, and the church was sort of the intermediary, and obviously more translations, more literacy turns that all on its head. But there's a deeper story. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but I think that that's worth talking about too. And I've touched on this lately, and I think you can see hints of it in I think, what is it, the Reformation Day Wikipedia entry? I forget which one it is. Or the 95 Theses. Is that it? No. I'll find it. One of the Wikipedia entries. Is it the Reformation? Yeah, the Wikipedia entry for the Reformation. Prior to Martin Luther, there were many earlier reform movements, which is also a Wikipedia entry for proto-Protestantism. Although the Reformation is usually considered to have started with the publication of the 95 Theses by Martin Luther in 1517, he was not excommunicated by Pope Leo X. Until January 1521. The Diet of Worms of May 1521 condemned Luther and officially banned citizens of the Holy Roman Empire from defending or propagating his ideas. But this, the spread of Gutenberg's printing press, provided the means for the rapid dissemination of religious materials and the vernacular. And that's a point that should not be overlooked, I would say. And you have many similar efforts around the same time. In fact, I think Calvin has mentioned, yeah. So this initial movement in Germany diversified, and other reformers such as Ulrich Zwingli and John Calvin arose. And there was, you know, now suddenly there was Zwingliism and Calvinism, and these efforts owed much to Gutenberg's printing press, obviously. There's more, but I'll leave that there for now. So, back to the Treasury of Merit. This left people wondering if they had done or paid enough to appease God's righteous anger and escape his judgment. This was the context that promoted Luther's desire to refocus the church on salvation by grace through faith on account of Christ, by imputation of Christ's righteousness to us. To those spiritually oppressed by indulgences and not given assurance of God's grace, Luther proclaimed free grace to God's true saints. And so quoting Luther, God receives none but those who are forsaken, restores health to none but those who are sick, gives sight to none but the blind and life to none but the dead. He does not give saintliness to any but sinners, nor wisdom to any but fools. In short, he has mercy on none but the wretched and gives grace to none but those who are in disgrace. Therefore, no arrogant saint or just or wise man can be material for God. Neither can he do the work of God, but he remains confined within his own work and makes himself a fictitious, ostensible, false, and deceitful saint, that is, a hypocrite. And so this subject of faith is an interesting one. You can also point to the examples of Jesus saying, your faith has made you well, for example. You know, verses like Matthew 9:22 and so on. There are instances of that. Anyway, it's an interesting subject, and I will continue with this in a moment, why Reformation Day instead of the treasure of merit that was for sale, etc. There's much more to the story. I think, you know, what was meant for good was co-opted and sort of hijacked by way of the printing press and used for not so good things. At the same time, also, you know, not that long after, about 50 years later, we get John Fox's Book of Martyrs, which I think has a useful focus and emphasis not on God that serves a similar purpose. And it's kind of, I would call it kind of a pre-Marxist harbinger. Anyway, that's a different story. So for now, let's go to the phones and grab Glenn in Pennsylvania. Glenn, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Glenn? No, we lost Glenn. All right. We shall press on. So why Reformation Day instead of the treasury of merit that was for sale? Luther protested. The true treasure of the Church of is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. That was thesis number 62. This was Luther's desire for Reformation Day. Justin Holcomb wrote this article, like I said, earlier this year. This is part of a series that Christianity.com has, and there are several other articles that sort of unpack the history of Halloween, its connection to Reformation Day, and the other history surrounding it. Again, you know, All Saints Day, there are several of these days that are wrapped up together. All Hallowtide or Halloween, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, October 31, November 1, and November 2, respectively. But I think it's interesting, A, that few people, I wonder how many Lutherans understand this history. And let alone Americans. So that's interesting. How many people really know anything of this history at all? And also, it's fascinating the paganization, or the repaganization, as it were, of the holiday. In recent years, I don't know about you, but it seems in the last 20 years or so, there's been a significant uptick in the morbid preoccupation with all things death. And that reminds me always of John 10:10. The thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. All right, back to the phones. Glenn, we have Glenn back.
Hi, Chris. Sorry, I missed you. That was not the bad guys. I had to talk to somebody, and I accidentally missed you. Okay, well, hurry, step right up and get your plenary indulgences here.
Yep.
Free your loved ones from purgatory. If you call before midnight tonight, you'll get this lovely neck pendant with a splinter of the true cross of Christ.
Yeah, exactly. This also brings in, you know, the issue of I think Jesus and the money changers in the temple, and you know, those kinds of things. Him saying it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. And so I would ask people, why do you suppose that is? And I think the Bible speaks to exactly why. But I don't think that's commonly known either. So when you see these kinds of things, it's particularly diabolical for the church to be doing this, the church, so-called, because I think it's part of the devil's character. I think you see that revealed in Ezekiel 28, for example. By the abundance of his trade, he was corrupted.
Right, right. So, yeah, it's always money and spiritual, you know, things tied together in all this. But
for where yeah, you're, we have the... heart is there your treasure will be also or something
sure will
like
be
that.
There your treasure be, yeah, exactly. And with you know, seeing other permutations, like now we have this we're seeing in America finding out about this Day of the Dead stuff, which is predominantly Mexican, but I mean it's all, this stuff's all tied together through the dark side. You've got the Santeria in Haiti and Day of the Dead in Mexico and Samhain or Samhain or Shawin from you know the Druids in Europe and you know, so it's, and then I, it's just kind of funny because I always think about, like, in studying history, you know, talk about the Christianization of Europe and successful efforts and failed efforts and efforts that resulted in inevitable syncretism, you know, all this whole syncretism thing of the mishmashing of the doctrines, and you have that too, you know, that going on. So it's a miasma of, you know, swirling, roiling variables there.
Yeah.
Know? Big mess.
Yeah. But, so I think, you know, it brings up an interesting question. Many people ask it. People write posts about it. In fact, there's one over at Christianity.com titled, no, it's over at Crosswalk, I think, A Tricky Holiday. Should Christians ignore or embrace and celebrate Halloween? And my short answer, my spoiler or TLDR would be, it's a Romans 14 issue. Like everything else, you know, I would say that it's for each person. You know, who's in charge? Who decides? And so if God decides, maybe one person says yes, maybe another doesn't. Maybe it falls under Christian liberty. Maybe some people disagree. Right. But ultimately, I think it's for each person to decide.
Well, then you have like everything... you know, like I had heard a Christian presentation the other last week at my church and stuff about a fellow who'd been involved in witchcraft with his girlfriend when they were younger. And you know, so he did a great job doing all this history stuff about Shawin and Samhain and all that kind of stuff. But, but then you also end up with, you know, obvious condemnation of things like Ouija boards and things like that. But then, you know, eventually... they ended up with sort of a teetotaler message in their abstention from alcohol. They have, and then, or 52 playing cards with a deck of 52, which is the lesser tarot and the less, you know, lesser tarot. And then, so, you know, people are going to be like, I can't play old maids. I can't play gin rummy.
Seems
you know?
Like it borders on legalism. And that always reminds me of the Judaizers in Galatians 2. Who were secretly brought in to spy out our liberty and bring us back under bondage.
Because I don't think somebody has pledged as go fish, you know, or old mates.
Not that you know. They're doing it on purpose, but it ends up, you know, I think it's easy for even the folks that are not doing that kind of stuff on purpose, you end up subscribing to a kind of voodoo theology. You know, where you're looking for stuff like that all the time, and that's not living by faith.
It's almost as though, like, obviously, you know, Luther chose the day he chose because of the indulgences and All Saints Day and all, you know, all that stuff and the indulgences, but it's almost like, couldn't he have picked a day, like, just out in the middle of nowhere on the calendar where this would all be just an issue? You know, like how about National Dogwood Tree Day? Just use that one or something. Every day is something. But, you know, National Ice Cream Sunday Day or something. Day when maybe there's nothing. But, and of course, we have the FIT 95 Theses thing. And, of course, 40 years ago, National Lampoon felt compelled to make a cartoon of Martin Luther trying to nail 95 Theses to the Wittenberg door.
Right.
And I think the Monty Python guys took a shot at that too somewhere, either in Life of Brian or Meaning of Life, one of those movies. But like, oh come on, you couldn't leave it alone, huh? You had to go ahead and do that.
Defiled.
But But speaking of Wittenberg Door, I used to greatly enjoy the magazine Wittenberg Door. It was like a almost like a Christian version of The Onion, only not quite as funny. Huh. But I take it you're familiar with Wittenberg Door.
Not the publication, huh?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, man. And I don't know what it's probably eroded somewhat, but I mean, it was just, you know, it was great, you know, church commentary and humorous articles and stuff like that, like I say, a la The Onion or something, or not quite as caustic or abrasive as like the Harvard Lampoon or something like that, you know, but, or National Lampoon. But, yeah, it was a, you know, it was a interesting magazine for stimulating thought and conversations with a little tongue-in-cheek humor in there.
Interesting. Sounds interesting.
Yeah. All right, I guess I hear we got the break coming, so.
Yes, sir.
That's right. All right.
Stick around, folks.
God bless.
Yeah. You too. Thank you. Much appreciated. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie, great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Television signal.
first hour. So, you know, again, the question, I think, with all of this history, what do you do about Halloween? I think practically speaking, that's a question. You know, what do we do as Americans from a particularly Christian point of view? That's a question that's been asked for who knows how long. And I would, you know, back to my answer, I think it's a Romans 14 issue. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind, as you read in Romans 14. I think it's a Christian liberty issue. But as a rule, I would say generally, especially these days, you know, there's not much innocent or redeemable about it. It's difficult, I think, to make the argument that you're doing much good. And it seems much easier that, you know, if you're participating, you are sort of guilty by association, if that makes sense. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 comes to mind, what fellowship hath light with darkness, kind of thing. So that's what I would say as a rule. That's difficult with kids and, you know, children, young people. But then, who knows, you know, you also have the subject of the artificial extension of childhood in view, because I doubt that a Ben Franklin or a Thomas Jefferson or a David Farragut would be interested in celebrating this at age 11 or 12. Maybe Ben Franklin would, but for different reasons. I digress. But there's also, you know, people ask about things like trunk or treat, you know, can you do that? Is that a bad thing? And I think more than anything these days, again, as I've said before, the Western battlefront in the modern Western world is now, if it hasn't always been, or for at least quite some time, Metaschematizo. You know, McLuhan's Medium is the Message kind of territory, where people will say, well, this is a safe version or whatever, and I think we should maybe look at what is the broader result, what is the meta abstraction of it, and its result. Anyway, something for people who are concerned to prayerfully consider. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.